to turn to the Gospel of Mark, two passages of scripture that we're going to be looking at. One is from Mark's Gospel, which will be our preaching passage, and our collateral passage is from Acts chapter 10, verse 34 and 35. But Mark chapter 7, verse 24 through 30. Mark chapter 7, verse 24 through 30. Mark chapter 7, verse 24 through 30. While you're finding it, I just want to introduce you to my baby girl. She is home from Oakwood. Faith, where are you? But yeah, just stand so amen. There she is. Yeah, she's one of your new members. She doesn't know, but we transferred her membership while she was at school. So she's a bona fide member of this church. Amen. Amen. Mark chapter 7 and verse 24 through 30. When you have it, please stand with me as we honor God in the reading of his word, if you are physically able to stand. Mark chapter 7, verse 24 through 30. We're going to read responsively. I'm going to read the even verses. You will read the odd verses. We will read verse number 30 together. Mark chapter 7, beginning with verse 24. I'm reading from the King James Version of the Bible. And from thence he arose, went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into an house, and would have no man know or know it, but he could not be hid. You read. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. Let's read together. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now we're going to go to Acts chapter 10, and we're going to read verse 34 and 35 together. Acts chapter number 10 and verse 34 and 35. When you have it, let me hear you say amen. Let's read together. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of person, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Yahweh, the hour is come again, when your son Jesus and Jesus alone must be lifted up. For Jesus said, and if I be lifted up, I, Jesus, will draw men or women, all boys and girls unto me. So lift Jesus up right now. May Jesus be seen clearly. May Jesus be heard and understood without any ambiguity. When this experience shall have come to a pause, May Jesus be honored. May Jesus be obeyed. For thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory forever. And the people of God say, amen, amen, amen. As we take some time out to honor, to love on, to pay respect, to reflect on all of the good, kind and caring that our mothers and those who have stood as mothers with us have dispensed upon us. I want to talk to us today, my brothers and sisters, on the topic mothers motivated to make God move. Mothers motivated to make God move. The setting, the scene, and the sequence that saturate this passage intended for our meditation this morning bring us, my brothers and sisters, into realization of the reality of the humanity of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It helps us to see that our God, who took on humanity and chose to be like us, was really like us in everything. Matter of fact, the writer of Hebrews in the 4th chapter in the 15th verse said, we have not a high priest who is not affected by our infirmities, but is tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. I'm so glad that I have a God who is willing to come to my level and to be like me so that I can in turn be like him. Do I have any witnesses in the house? Mark and Matthew, in their gospel recording of this event, tell us, my brothers and sisters, that Yeshua, Jesus, because of his humanity, in his human person, was tired of his earthly labor and decided he was going to find an unusual environment, a place where he was not much known, so that he could get some much needed rest. This tells me, my brothers and sisters, that if you and I are going to be of any good to ourselves and to the people whom God has called us and assigned us to serve, every now and again, we need to step aside, take a break, refuel, and rest to be able to work better. Do I have any witness in here? That's why I thank God for the Sabbath. Because the Sabbath tells me that I can take 24 hours out of the week and don't have to worry about the bill collector. The Sabbath gives me the right not to pick up the phone and answer when somebody calls trying to get paid. The Sabbath says that because I have worked all week, Sister Latsom, I can take 24 hours to get some rest. And I'm glad that Jesus is my ultimate example, because even though he was God as man, Jesus needed a hideaway every now and again. Jesus needed to take some time out to rest every now and again. And the Bible tells us in this narrative that Jesus had worked hard and he needed some rest. Sister Jordan, he needed some respite. He needed a little peace away from the noise and the clutter and the crowd. And so he asked his disciples to come with him to this hideaway place so that he could get some rest. Now, I understand that as a human being, Jesus could hide away. But this begs me to question, where in the world can the God of the universe go and hide from his creatures? As man, he was able to hide away, Sister Wolf. As man, he was tired and weak and feeble. But as God, he was from everlasting to everlasting. And as God, he has no weaknesses. He is never tired. He doesn't need to take time off. Aren't you glad that we have a God who doesn't need time off? He's on the job 24/7, 60 seconds every minute, every hour, every day, every week, every month, every year. You can call on him and he'll answer. And here we are confronting this Jesus who cannot hide as God because he is attracted to and is attracted by people with problems. I'm going to say that again because somebody missed it. Jesus is attracted to and attracted by people with issues. You thought Jesus only hung around holy people, people that got it all made in the shade with a glass of lemonade. I'm so glad that Jesus hangs around and is attracted to people like me that come short every now and again. People like me that miss the mark every now and again. People like me that got problems and issues that Jesus can take care of. And the Bible says while Jesus is trying to get a hideaway place, this woman who has a daughter that has a demonic problem hears that Jesus is in town and she comes looking for Jesus. Now, the first thing that I want to point out about mothers who are motivated to make God move are mothers who are willing to take risks. The first characteristic of mothers who are motivated to make God move in the life of their children are mothers who are willing to take risks. Mothers who are willing to say, you know what? I am not going to stay here and let you abuse me, beat me crazy in front of my children. I know I can make the rent, and I know it's going to be difficult paying the bills by myself, but I will take a chance and get out of here so that my children can have some peace in knowing that their mother don't deserve this kind of abuse. I wish somebody was listening to me. Mothers who are willing to take a risk and say, I've been here, got three kids with you. We've been together for 10 years, and you still haven't put a ring on it. I forgot, I'm preaching to Adventists. Let me preach to some real people on this end up there. But I'm sick and tired of being called your baby mama. If I'm good enough to be a baby mama, then I'm good enough to wear some bling bling. And if you are not able to put a ring on it, you shouldn't make claim to it. I wish somebody would hear me. Mothers who are willing to take a risk. This mother was willing to take a risk. She said, I know I got four kids and I'm having issues right now, and nobody will not believe it, but I'm going back to school. Somebody say, take a risk. I'm not going to depend on no man to take care of me. I'm not depending on that little check that I get from the welfare office. Even if I got to do it one semester at a time, one class at a time, going to school at night, coming home to take care of my children, I'm going to take a chance. I'm going to take a risk until I make myself better so that my children can have a better life. Is that too much? Mother in here who can say, I'm willing to take a risk, say yes. His mother say, I know it's not popular right now for me to go join somebody's church, but I need to give my children Jesus. I need to take a risk. Their daddy may not want to come with me, but it doesn't matter. I'm going to find Jesus, and I'm going to tell him all about my trouble. This mother was willing to take a risk. Can you make that clear, preacher? I'm so glad you asked. Here's risk number one. In that culture, it was taboo. It was not politically correct for a woman to talk to a man in public, left alone a group of men. Jesus and his disciples are going to find a place to rest. They've been ministering all week, probably all month, and they need some time out. The second risk is this woman is not a Jew. She is not an Israelite, has no right to the claim and to the privilege of conversation with Israel's Messiah. And this lady decides, I don't give a care, because somewhere I read that God is no respecter of person. I know he's a Jewish son of Moses, but I also heard that he is through the lineage of David. And because he is through the lineage of David, he is the promised Messiah, and he is sent to the whole world. For God so loved the world that he give his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This lady said, I don't care what the customs are. I don't care what the laws say. I don't care whether nobody knows me as a part of a Jewish community or not. I heard that Jesus is a one who at his name every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. At the name of Jesus, demons flee. At the name of Jesus, sickness stop. At the name of Jesus, bondage is broken. And I heard that Jesus is in town and I'm going to find him. Turn to somebody and say, you need to take a risk. Not only that this lady take a risk in following Jesus, Deacon Scott, but she also was wise enough to request divine resources. Here it is. Here it is. The second characteristic of mothers who make God move are mothers who have the wisdom to request divine resources. This woman came to Jesus and she said, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now, wait a minute. Lord, Son of David, this is Jesus' messianic title. She's not calling him Mary's baby. She's not calling him the Jewish God. She's not calling him the King of the Jews. She says, Lord. That means he's in control. Son of David, that means he's the promised Messiah to the whole world. She says, have mercy on me. Now, wait a minute. She doesn't say, have mercy on my child. When we read, the text said, that it was her daughter that was vexed with demon. But when she requests divine resources, she requests it for her. It is requested for her for the benefit for her daughter. Okay. I haven't gotten in your backyard yet. Here it is. She understands the way church folk think. How in the world you gonna come here asking for God to bless this child that haven't shown up in church for the last 6 years? How in the world do you think God will bless your child who's strung out, messed up from the floor up, won't even come to God nor recognize who God is? See, this woman is doing something that real mothers do. This woman is making a request of God, but in the process of her request, she is interceding for her child, letting God know that she is inextricably tied in relationship with her child and her child's burdens. You're going to get it. Just stay with me.
In other words, this woman is saying, when my child stays up at night, I stay up at night. When my child cries at night, I cry at night. When my child is in a messed up situation, I'm in a messed up situation. Because contrary to popular belief, although people may look at my child and write him off and write her off and say all kinds of ugly things about her, no matter how bad my child is, no matter how terrible my child is, I wish some mother would help me in here. No matter how ugly my child may be, you don't know, this is my baby. And because she is my baby, because this is my child, there is nothing too ugly that they will do, nothing too terrible that they can do, nothing too bad that they can do that I will not empathize and sympathize with. So, Master, I'm asking you not to have mercy on my child, because I know he doesn't deserve it. I know she doesn't deserve it. I know he wouldn't appreciate it, and I know she wouldn't appreciate it. But God, if you can just have mercy on me, don't do it for my child. Just do it for me, because I'm the one that believe in you. I'm the one that have faith that you can do it. I'm the one that cry to you every Sabbath. I'm the one that come to your house and praise you. So God, if you can have mercy on me, my child will benefit from that mercy. Is there two people in here who can shout, Lord, have mercy? See, there's something about that connection that a mother has with her child. That connection takes place for at least 9 months, where this mother and this child is inextricably, yeah, whatever, tied together. Tie tongue this morning, but you get what I'm trying to say. They're inseparably, yeah, that's a better word. They're tied together in that womb. And even when that mother gives birth to that child, there is still a connection with that mother and that child that a father doesn't have with that child, that anybody else doesn't have with that child. And it's so deep that that child can be in New York, can be in Africa, can be Japan and France, and something's happening, and that mother gets a feeling that something is going on with my child. And that mother can get on her knees before getting any news and say, God, take care of my child wherever he is, wherever she is. Is there two people in here who understands the connection that real mother has with their children? This woman is saying, God, every time the phone rings, my blood pressure goes up. I'm nervous. I'm wondering whether they're calling to tell me he's OD'd. Every time that phone rings, I'm wondering whether the call is the one that says he just got shot up. Every time I hear that phone ring, God, I'm wondering if they're calling me to go bail him out again. God, have mercy on me. I can't sleep at night. I'm tired of my child being on crack. God, have mercy. I'm tired of my child being under the bridge. God, have mercy on me. I'm tired of my child coming home with another baby and no man to help her support her. God, have mercy on me. I'm tired. This woman was making a request for divine resources. And that's what real mothers do. Now,
Now, here's the thing. This woman is pleading for her child. When everybody else thinks he deserves exactly what he's getting, she's up at night saying, God, have mercy. I remember my mother, and I just saw Sister Ashley the other day at the funeral, and it took me back to some maybe 40 years ago when I lost my baby sister. She had just gotten home from school, got out of the bus, and the driver didn't see or didn't even want to see the sign that a bus had stopped. My baby sister was crossing the street, and this driver ran over her and killed her. And I remember when my mother heard the news, she just crushed, held her stomach. And I couldn't understand what was going on. But it seemed like she was feeling that birth pain again. Because there's something that connects mothers with their children. No wonder God, when he compares his love with us, for us, he uses the metaphor of a mother. No, he doesn't use a man with strength and power. He doesn't use some creature that has a power. He uses a mother. This is how God puts it. He said it is not normal for a mother to forsake her suckling child. It's against nature. It is not natural for a mother to forsake her suckling child. But he said, but even if she does, I will never forsake you. This is how much God loves us. He uses a mother's connection with her child to compare his love for us. And this mother got a child that's demon-possessed. Have you ever had that midnight experience where you wake up at night when everyone is sleeping and you are up at night knowing that child would not call, but you still went next to the phone, knowing they will not show up, but you're still wishing and hoping they do? This is what this mother is going through. But she hears that Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, the anointed one, has come to town to find a hiding place. And this woman began to cry behind Jesus. If you read Matthew's version in Matthew chapter 15, you will find Matthew saying, as the woman was crying, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me, the disciples said, tell her to stop making all that noise behind us. Now, wait a minute. I wasn't even calling your name. Your name in Jesus. Ain't it strange how when people are pleading with Jesus, the church has a problem with it? Somebody waving their hand and just crying and weeping, asking God, have mercy on my child. And they want to know, now what he done now? When did they arrest him? Have you heard? Shut up. This is between me and Jesus. But here's where the story takes a turn. This lady takes a risk. She requests divine resources to remedy her child's issue. But Jesus gives her a ridiculous ridicule for a response. Jesus says it is not good to take the children's bread and give it to their dogs. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute, Jesus. You know, this is where you differentiate mothers from baby mamas. You know, there's a difference, don't you? See, a baby mama will curse before she thinks. A mother will consider who she is before she responds. Now, I'm thinking, Elder Prochet, I'm about to see a baby mama drama. This mother, pleading with Jesus, she's taken a risk. She's made her request. And Jesus calls her a dog. Now, if she was any of the sisters that I grew up with, she would have put her left hand on her hip and used her right hand and start doing that neck-hand combination talk. No, he didn't say that. Did you hear? I wish somebody was with me. You call me a dog? After I came and pleaded with you and pray and beg, and I know you call, wait a minute. What did you just call me? Did you hear? No, he didn't say that. Did you? And all of a sudden, you would have had to hold Peter back, because you know Peter will cut you in a minute. James and John will start calling down fire from heaven. But I thank God that this was not a baby mama. This was a mother. Now let me tell you the difference between baby mamas and mothers. Baby mamas will let their children starve while they accessorize. But real mothers will suffer to see their children safe. See, baby mamas will look out for themselves and then ask somebody else to look out for their children. But real mothers will look out for their children and then wish somebody has some left over to give to them. I wish I had two mothers in here. See, baby mothers, baby mamas will leave 6 and 8 and 2 year olds in bed and go out to the club. But mothers will say, clubbing time is over, because I got responsibilities now. And I need to stay home and make sure these children are safe. I heard about a baby mama some years ago in Florida. I think you heard it on the news. Left her children in bed, went to the club, and when she came back, the house had burned down and they all died. And she seen some club cutting the rug. But thank God today, I'm blessing God for the mothers in here. I'm blessing God for the mothers who are willing to take risks. I'm blessing God for the mothers who are willing to bring the issues of their children to Jesus. I'm blessing God for the mothers who are willing to suffer so that their children can live. The mothers who are willing to be without so that their children can have some dignity. The mothers who will not allow somebody to use, abuse them in front of their children just so they can help get the rent paid. But we said, no, you are not putting your hands
on me. You are not going to talk to me like that in front of my children. You better get, and you can take your money, you can take your car, you can take whatever, but I'm going to stay here with my dignity. I'm talking about a mother who will pack her children up and say, we're going to start at the Salvation Army. We're going to start at some house, somebody's house, until we can get back on our feet. But I'm not sitting here to let y'all go through this emotion. I wish somebody was talking to me. See, real mothers will take risks. Real mothers will request divine resources. But when they get a ridiculous ridicule, they will give a radical response. Here it is. Radical response. Jesus says to the woman, it is not good to take the children's bread and give it to their dogs. This woman gives a radical response. Because unlike baby mamas who hear words, mothers listen to thoughts. In the Greek, there are two names for dogs. And in that culture, they were not as advanced as we are today, Erica, to have veterinarians. And so rich people would buy dogs as pets, baby dogs, for their children. And the Greek word for the baby dogs is kuneria. Everybody say kuneria. But after many years, the dogs grow up, but they haven't had any medical treatment, and they cannot be maintained in the house. So they will put them out, and they become stray dogs. And those dogs are referred to as kunas. Everybody say kunas. Now, here's where it matters. Jesus doesn't call the woman kunas. He calls her, or at least refers to her, as a kunaria, a play puppy. When Jesus said that, see, the baby mama would start wagging her hand, twisting her neck, and having an attitude. But a real mother who listens hears that because of the culture of the Jews against anyone who is not Jews, Jesus is setting this woman up to bless her. Jesus says it is not good to take the children's bread and give it to their play puppies. Here's the radical response. The woman said, you are right, but the play puppies, not stray dogs on the outside, the play puppies that sleep with the children in their room, the play puppies that play with the children under the table, the play puppies that the children pick up and let it kiss and lick their face. When the children are eating, the play puppies come under the table and the children throw some crumbs under the table for the play puppies. Jesus, I'm not a Jew. I'm not an Israelite. I understand that. I'm not qualified to get the blessings that the Jews and the Israelites get. But because I'm a play puppy, I have the right to have some crumbs. And even if you're going to bless me under the table, I'll be satisfied. Is that two people in here who can shout, Jesus, I don't care how you bless me, as long as you bless me. See, you guys don't appreciate this. You don't appreciate this because most of you are born in America. You have an American birth certificate. You on your second day of birth, they issue you a social security number. But there are those who are born in foreign countries. And when they come to this country, they have no right to work. They have no right to a social security number. They have no right to a birth certificate. It takes them a process to, in time for them to get work, to get the benefits that Americans get. So back in the day, they used to have something called working under the table. In other words, you don't need to show no birth certificate. You don't need to show no social security number. You just need to show up and work. They're not going to pay you with a check. They pay you in cash because the IRS is not supposed to know about it. It's called being paid under the table. Is that two people in here who understands that every now and again, even though I may not deserve God's blessing, and the devil stands to accuse me and say he did this, he did that, he did the other, he doesn't deserve anything. God said that's true. But because of the blood of Jesus, I bless him under the table. Is that two people in here who can say, Jesus, I want you to bless me, even if you got to give it to me under the table. Say yes. I thank God for the under the table blessings. Hey, I thank God for the under the table blessings. You're looking at me cross-eyed, but you know a lot of you have gotten under the table blessings. Under the table blessings, number one, you slept with somebody you shouldn't sleep with. You know you shouldn't have gotten pregnant, but God made you not to. Turn to somebody and say, under the table. Yeah. You went out there and you slept with the wrong person. Could have gotten AIDS, could have gotten gonorrhea, could have gotten STD, but some guy, God let you get away with it. Turn to your neighbor and say, under the table. You lie on somebody on the job. They got shot, lost their job. They were supposed to come up in there and go post on you and everybody else. But they decided, I'm going to give it to God and I'm going to walk away. And you are still on that job. Turn to somebody and say, under the table. Okay, I'm not in your backyard yet, but keep looking at me. I'm coming. You slept with somebody's husband, somebody's wife. They should have found out and caught you and killed you. But somehow you snuck out when the car was pulling in the front yard. And you got away with it. Turn to somebody and say, under the table. See, God is always blessing us under the table. That means the stuff that you should have gotten, the stuff that you didn't deserve, God let you have it because he loves you and because some mother was praying for you. I thank God for my mama. I thank God for my grandmother. I thank God for my aunties and my uncles. I thank God for those women in my life who kept praying for me, who said, God bless Tira. You see, you know him as Pastor Weegar, but the people that know me as Tira. God, you know that boy's crazy. God, you know that boy's going to kill himself. But God just bless me so that he can be blessed. I know he doesn't deserve it. But if you stop me from worrying, then he'll get the benefit of the stopping. Turn to your neighbor and say, pray for your child. But don't pray for them for them. Pray for them for you. Because if God blesses you, they get the overflow. See, I thank God for overflow blessings. This woman should have walked away from Jesus. This woman should have gotten upset and left, like most of us get upset and leave the church. But I thank God I didn't come in here for nobody. I didn't come in here for the pastor. I didn't come in here for the elders, the deacons, or the deaconesses. No, I didn't come in here for the ushers. And I'm not leaving here. Matter of fact, let me say it like I really want to. I ain't leaving here because God is here. Jesus is here. And he got a blessing for me. Call me what you want to call me. Call me the names I don't deserve to be called. But I thank God that my mama prayed for me. I thank God my grandmama prayed for me. Thank God my auntie prayed for me. Is there two people in here who can just wave their hand and thank God for mama's prayer? Say yes. That woman, the Bible said, begin to worship Jesus. How does Jesus call you a dog and you still worship? Because the woman understood by listening. See, the problem with most of us is we don't listen. We hear, but we don't listen. What did Jesus say? He said, Jesus said they have ears, but they don't understand because you're not listening. That's why you're on your fifth marriage, because you ain't listening. You're always yakking at the mouth. Somebody said, most of us got a bucket of talk and a teaspoon of wisdom in it. And God has a reason for giving us two ears and one mouth, because he wants us to hear twice and listen twice more than we talk. I can see her friends now talk about, child, I won't go back to the church. Did you hear what they said about you? If I were you, I won't even go back. That woman said, yeah, you heard what you heard, but I understood what God was saying. I'm so glad that mothers are willing to listen and understand what God is saying. Mothers are willing to say, he may not come when I want him, but he's right on time. I thank God for mothers who will say, my child ain't home yet, but I won't stop praying. My child is still strung out, but I won't stop praying. I know everybody else have written him off or written her off, but I still have hope, because the Jesus who I serve, even though he gives a ridiculous ridicule when I give a radical response, he will, because of my faith, give me a reward that is worth waiting for. Watch this. Jesus said to the woman, you're a bad girl. You must be a mother, because I have never seen a woman with such faith. Jesus said, you're going to sleep good tonight. Wait a minute, Jesus. Jesus said, go home. Your daughter is healed. I just stopped by to tell some mother, keep praying. Keep pleading. Because Jesus will say to you one day, go home. Your child is all right. Go home. Your baby is safe. Go home. The Bible says that woman got up, went home. And just about the same time Jesus said it, her daughter was relieved, broken, freed of that demon. And it happened because of a mother who was willing to take a risk, a mother who was motivated to make God move, a mother who requested divine resources. A mother who, when she heard a ridiculous ridicule, did not leave and go back home. But she gave a radical response. She said, Jesus, if I'm a play puppy, then I deserve some crumbs. I don't know about you. I'm not asking him to get me a big house. I'm not asking him to get me a nice car. I'm not asking him to give me some of the stuff that other people think you should get before you be happy. I just want Jesus to give me some crumbs. Is that two people in here who can say, Jesus, just give me some crumbs? Because I tell you what Jesus' crumbs is. You remember when Moses told God, show me your glory. God said, come on now, Moses. You're asking too much. You can't handle what you're asking for. He said, but I tell you what, because you are willing to take a risk, because you are willing to ask a radical a question and request, God said, I tell you what I do. He said, I'm going to pass by, and when I pass by, I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock. How many of you know that rock is Jesus? He said, I put you in the cleft of the rock, and then I put my hand over the rock, and then I pass by. But when I pass by, you won't see me. The Bible says in the English, you will see my back. But that's not what the Hebrew says. The Hebrew said you will see the leftovers of my movement. I wish somebody knew what I was talking about. See. I was born and raised in Africa. And there were parts of Africa that we didn't have paved roads. And Sister Wilson, every now and again, a car will go by. You didn't see the car. You didn't even know the car was gone. But when you came out, you saw the dust that was left behind to show that the car had passed by. Is that two people here that grew up in the country that understand what I'm talking about? And you didn't see the truck, you didn't see the Jeep, you didn't see the car, but you knew a car went by because dust was all over the place. That's what God was saying to Moses. God said, Moses, when I pass by, you will not see me, but you will see the dust that I leave behind. And what is the dust, God? It's mercy. It's forgiveness, it's salvation, it's peace, it's prosperity, it's love, it's sleep at night. Aren't you glad that the crumbs of God are better than the blessings of men? I don't want God to give me anything big. Turn to your neighbor and say, just give me some crumbs, because the crumbs are mercy. Mercy to 1,000 generations. The crumbs of forgiveness. Forgiveness for my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. Hey, I don't know about you, but I should have been dead a long time ago. I should have been shot. I should have been crippled. I should have been lying in some nursing home. But I thank God for the crumbs that God gave my grandmother, gave to my mother. Passed down to me, even when I didn't know I was getting it. God was healing. God was saving. God was protecting. God was rescuing me. Is there two people in here who can get up on their feet and begin to thank God for the crumbs? Thank God for my mama. Thank God for my grandmother. Thank God for my aunties, because they prayed for me, and you pray for me, and they pray for you, and because of that, we are still here. I stopped by to tell you that when you pray for your children, God will bless them. I just got a question for a few mothers up in here. Won't he do it? I said, won't he do it? Won't he heal them? Won't he restore them? Won't he give you peace? Won't he give you sleep at night? Won't he let you lay down and rest? Won't he take care of your children? Yes, he will. Somebody say yes. Say yes. Say yes. Yes, he will. I thank God. There is no secret what God can do, what he's done for my mama, he can do for other mamas. Just wait on God. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't get upset. He may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. High five somebody and say, thank God for my mama. Thank God for my grandmother. Thank God for my auntie. Thank God for praying mother. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. There are mothers in here who are motivated to make God move. These mothers are willing to take risks. These mothers have the wisdom to request divine resources. These mothers will listen when it sounds like they are getting a ridiculous ridicule. But these mothers, my brothers and sisters, will give a radical response. These mothers will hold on to God until they get their reward. Come on, put your hands together and bless God for our mothers.